Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. What a promise. And there are many more to come in chapter 15, but this sets the scene, calms the nerves, and gets Abram to listen carefully. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Do not be afraid. I've used that all the time I've been trying to get this down on paper and in preparing to deliver this talk. Do not be afraid. However, please forgive me for not getting too deep into verses 10 and 11, the section with quite a bit of butchery in it. I will make an effort, but we'll see where we go. To start off with, I'm going to ask you to just bear with me and indulge me just for a short while, because in a moment we're going to look back at the previous couple of chapters in this series that our eminent preachers have shown us in the past few weeks, and it's going to be a little bit different. Now, when I'm listening to the sermons that Rob or Tom or Dick or whoever it is, Peter, do, I try and remember these things by taking notes, but I always ally the information with pieces of music, the songs that I know and lyrics in them. And I find music's very useful aid for jogging memories of anything I hear, and it cements them in my brain. For the passages we've studied in this series over the last few weeks, I kept finding that I was putting pop songs alongside them. So, pop pickers, to jog our memories, I've compiled a top five hit parade that helped me to remember where we've been and where we're at now. It's a bit like those recaps you get before a new episode of a TV program. So here goes. Looking back in Genesis from chapter 12, let's just have a recap. Cue music. Good evening, pop pickers. Here's the top five countdown. At number five in chapter 12, it's the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. Hungry Abram moved to Egypt and lied about his wife to save his life. So it's Staying Alive. And number four, it's Gloria. After Pharaoh finds out, Abram is kicked out. Go on now, go walk out the door. Don't turn around. You're not welcome anymore. I Will Survive by Gloria. In chapter 13, Abram leaves with more than he came with and generously divvied the land he was given with Lot. So at number three, it's Sister Sledge. We are family. Chapter 14 sees great battles and the rescue of Lot. So at number two, it's Fontella Bass with Rescue Me. Just before this week's number one, thank you, pop pickers, for listening, and see you next week, same time, same channel. Ta-ra! Fond memories of my finger hovering over the cassette play pause button whilst trying to record the top 40 before Simon Bates spoke. But to get back to the story, get back to reality. As we've learnt, Abraham has been through so much and remained faithful right up to this chapter. And thank you, Jock, for reading. God's promises prior to this chapter were conditional. This time his promises are unconditional. God makes a covenant with Abram. He promises a nation and people. He promises land. And he promises his blessing. Let's start with God's promise of nation and heirs. Abram, in all the things he had been through, had remained faithful and grown in wisdom. He had been shrewd in his dealings with Pharaoh, gracious in dividing land between him and Lot. He's been a loyal family man in rescuing Lot, and he was both generous and careful in equal measure with his dealings with Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and the king of Sodom, generous with Melchizedek as he was a priest of God, and very careful with the king of Sodom. He's led a very busy life and was doing God's work faithfully and truly. But he wouldn't last forever. So who would carry on after he died? Do not be afraid, says God in a vision. I am your shield, your very great reward. Abraham needs and gets God's reassurance of support. Do not be afraid. I can remember teaching my daughter, and I dare say many other people have been through this with their children as well, how to ride a bike. She tried so hard and was doing so well until I let go. Then she tells me off, and still does, because I should know she wasn't ready yet. How many times in our faith stories do we get brave because we've been boosted by a great sermon or a rousing hymn, only to fail to see the opportunity presented by God? Do not be afraid. I am your shield. Ellen, my daughter, I said, when I let go, don't be afraid. I'll run alongside to catch you if you fall. And within 10 minutes, she was riding a bike. Abraham is being promised a nation and people, direct descendants of his flesh, too numerous to count. Doubts creep into Abraham's mind. Looking for support, he asks, Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? I only have a servant that will inherit. God supports Abraham. He promises Abraham a son and heir and invites him outside to look at the stars. Count them if you can, he says. So shall your offspring be. That's some promise. I remember, as I should, when we were on our honeymoon, we were at the Isles of Scilly. And the light pollution is virtually zero there. And the sky at night is so white with stars. There are so many, billions and billions, countless number of stars. Abraham saw this and believed. He believed because although Abraham had been demonstrating his faith through his actions, it was his belief in the Lord, not his actions, that made him right with God. Verse 6 says, Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him in righteousness. He trusts the Lord to deliver on his promises. We too can have a right relationship with God by trusting him. Attending church, being kind, doing good deeds, serving on the PCC, these are all just byproducts of a relationship based on faith. A relationship with a heartfelt inner confidence that God is who he says he is and does what he says he will. Right actions will follow from this holy relationship. God also promised land. Verse 7 brings another question from Abraham. How can I know I'll get possession of it, he asks. It's at this point while studying the passage, I thought, well, come on, Abraham, look what God's done for you. So much, yet you keep questioning. What more can he do to convince you? Until, rather embarrassingly, I realise I begin to hear my own weakness in doubting God myself. And that's unfair to God. When I left school and started my apprenticeship, my boss didn't just give me a set of screwdrivers, a drill and some cable and say, go and rewire that house. No. I'd been working with my dad since I was 11, slave labour, I think. But I thought, yes, I know what I'm doing at 16. I've done it all before. But I still needed guidance. I needed to learn the regulations, ask the right questions, I needed training, and most of all, the confidence that I could do it because of the training and guidance from my elders, the men that taught me my trade, who despaired of me many a time, no doubt. It was quite reasonable for Abraham to question God, because then he would get it right. He wanted to be right before God. In Romans 4, 1-4, it says, "What then shall we say about that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does Scripture say? Abraham believed in God, and it was credited to him in righteousness." Listen and learn. Watch and learn. But listening to wisdom from God, and our actions become more visible as acts of love. How then does God give a sign to Abraham that he will do as he had promised? Now, at this point in a TV program, there's a little sign comes up here and says, "The following may contain disturbing scenes, so you have been warned. Get me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, and a dove, and a young pigeon." Now, I don't boast at all about the next bit. This is directly from Tyndale's Old Testament commentary, because I couldn't understand this properly. So here goes. The ritual of cutting the heifer, goat, and ram in halves and laying out the parts along with the birds is a visible sign of God's covenant promise. The splitting of the animals was part of a ceremony that accompanied the pledging of a covenant. Such a ceremony is mentioned in Jeremiah 34:18-19, where Jeremiah warns that those who violate God's covenant and walk between the pieces will be delivered to their enemies. It is probably reflected in a Hebrew idiom for making a covenant, to cut a covenant. When the parties to the covenant passed between the divided animals, they were pledging to keep the terms of the covenant. If they failed to do so, they would themselves meet the fate of the animals and be divided and cut in two. God made the covenant by passing between the pieces, and as God cannot be divided, Abraham would have absolute assurance that God would keep his promise. It wouldn't be easy. It would take over 400 years for this land to be delivered to God's people. Abraham's descendants would have to wait all that time and endure many things, terrible things on the way, but God would deliver. And that miraculous deliverance is in the book of Exodus. And as our home group know, that's a cracking read. So God's blessing. After faithfully guarding all the pieces until nightfall, Abraham falls into a deep sleep, and God speaks to him. Verse 13, God tells Abraham of the plight of Israel in the next 400 years, but that he will punish the nation they are enslaved to and deliver them to the promised land. This is told to Abraham whilst a thick and dreadful darkness came over him, accentuating the full horror that will befall God's people before their release. It is now that God's blessing over the covenant he has made with Abraham and his many descendants is seen. God's covenant with Abraham is serious business. This is an incredible promise from God and a huge responsibility for Abram. The smoking firepot and blazing torch are symbols of God confirming his part of his covenant. The smoke and the fire showing God's holiness and power, a true blessing for Abram and his descendants. God promises a nation and people. He promises land, and he blesses a covenant with his people to confirm his promises. These promises are made to us too, here and now, through Jesus Christ, through a new covenant made in love for all nations. We can reflect on this blessing as our blessing. John 3:16 is our blessing, one that just keeps giving. We have the privilege of knowing Jesus, his example, his teaching, and as we celebrate today, his power through the Holy Spirit. A gift that just keeps giving day after day after day. And I didn't forget the countdown. What's number one? Well, it's very fitting for me. It's Simple Minds. I promise you a miracle. My prayer tonight is, God, thanks to the faithfulness of Abraham and his heirs, thanks to the faithfulness of those that have and do help us in our faith, thanks for the gift of Jesus Christ, thanks for the power of the Holy Spirit, we are blessed beyond belief. Amen.